Then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith. And we attempt to answer some questions, questions like, how can we increase our faith every day? How can we live out our lives in a manner that is pleasing to God and remain secure in His promises? Well, on this show, we will interview people of faith who are willing to share their faith story, and we will also talk about some of the great promises of God found in His Word. You can check out some of our previous interviews on the WCHV.com website. Click on the podcast section and you just scroll down to Everyday Faith. A couple of weeks ago, we had Anthony Gill from the UVA men's basketball team, a very powerful interview with Anthony and his faith journey. We also had the UVA wrestling coach, Steve Garland, on, and it was a very, very powerful testimony of what God's doing in his life. And so check out the WCHV.com, and you can listen to those podcasts. There's some very interesting interviews. And we also have an email address now. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. We appreciate all the comments that have been coming in and all the encouragements, and we also welcome your prayer requests. So what does the Bible have to say about faith? One of our favorite chapters is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And why is faith important? Also from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Reading now from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. I love this verse. Your trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And finally, how do we get faith? From the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to have a sit-down with George Sanker, who is the headmaster of the Covenant School, and we're going to talk about his faith journey. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. On August 16th, the Stony Point Fire Company is celebrating 40 years of service with a 5K run and other activities. Old Dominion Animal Hospital on Preston Avenue is holding a benefit dog wash on August 16th from 11 until 2. Proceeds benefit the Companion Animal Fund, a local nonprofit. Farmers in the Park is held every Wednesday through September from 3 until 7 at Mead Park on Mead Avenue in Charlottesville. On August 23rd, starting at 7:30 in the morning, the Mad Run 4-Miler will be held in Madison. Proceeds benefit UVA Breast Care Center. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at WCHV.com.
I have a passion for the environment. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. We monitor commercial vessels, making sure our ports and waterways are safe and clean from oil or other hazardous material. We patrol our fisheries, protect marine wildlife and their habitats. With all we do, it's about protecting America.
Were you born ready to protect America? Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com. sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Virginia Association of Broadcasters and this station.
How's your lunch?
Good, Dad, but not as good as the sandwiches you used to make.
Really?
Sure. Remember how you'd melt the cheese first and dry the pickles on a paper towel so they didn't make the bread soggy? Oh, and then you'd cut it into four pieces with no crust?
I did all that.
Geez, Dad, how would anyone forget something like that?
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney. Here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHV.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have George Sanker. George is the headmaster of the Covenant School, and George is going to share with us a little bit about his faith journey. We'll also talk a little bit about faith in family, faith in education, and some other fun topics. But George, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me this morning.
We'd like to talk and start with your faith journey, if we could. Could you kind of walk us through how you came to faith?
Well, I was one of the stubborn ones. I can tell you that. This journey started for me during my youth in Washington, D.C. Grew up there in D.C. with my mom and dad and near Howard University. We didn't have a lot. My mom worked as a maid in the suburbs, caring for a family there, and my dad didn't work, so we were really tight. Things were hard, but my mom was a godly woman, and she taught Sunday school for 30 years, and I went to church with her every week, and my dad never was connected to the church. He was sort of the outcast there, did not feel connected, and she was the strong person in my family. Because we struggled, and as many families around us did, that made it hard for us. And in a situation like that, you tend to rely on your own strength. You rely on sort of hard work and getting things done and just surviving. And in that context, while you do go to church and you sing your hymns on Sunday, there's a part of you that wants to control your life. And that was sort of where I was. And it took me a while. It took me different opportunities that God put before me to really break that in me. And you know, one comes to mind for me, really, was in high school. I was a good kid, never got in trouble, no demerits, a good, clean kid, always did the right thing. And it was, I think in that situation, sometimes pride can seep in. So I remember going into my junior year football, I knew that the only way I was going to go to college was to play and get a scholarship. I had to play well that next year, my junior year. Worked hard that spring leading into my junior year, a lot of working out, a lot of running, a lot of lifting. Came home one day and got off the bus and walked down my street, and everything we owned was on the street. My dad had gotten into an argument with the landlord, and we were out. We had no place to live. So my whole world was turned upside down, and you know, all these things were just swirling through my head. You have your friends out there kind of looking at you, not knowing how to respond, and it's just a hard situation, and we had to move quickly. We put our stuff in the car, found a place to go in a motel, and knowing that the stuff that we had out there is going to be gone. So we did that, and you know, when I got there, I had to kind of buckle down. As I said, I didn't pray. I focused on my strength. I said, okay, I'm going to get my homework done. I'm going to find a way to get to school the next day, and I'm going to move forward. Now, I was disciplined, and I said, I'm going to push my way through this. Mm-hmm. Throughout that summer, we moved from house to house, living with this on this floor and in this place, and nothing stable. But I always found a way to get up and go and run and train and stay focused, and had a great junior year, so I felt good about myself. That I pushed through this situation. And I got into my senior year, and I had all these schools looking at me, big schools, big names. Started the season well, first three games, and then I got hurt. Mm. Had a bad injury, a hamstring injury, and missed five games, and all those scholarships disappeared. Again, here's a sense that it's my time to lean on God, but I still didn't. I was angry. I was mad that I did all the things I was supposed to do. Why weren't things working out the way I wanted? Ended up settling for Colgate, and you know, to me that was settling. But it was the right place for me. That God knew where I needed to be. Mm-hmm. At the time, I didn't understand it. I was disgruntled. Went in, started 4 years, got a great education, had a great opportunity after that to work at the CIA and do some great things. But in the midst of that, I was still feeling like, you know, I didn't get what I wanted. But the real way that God finally got to me was in the midst of in the CIA the first few years. I connected with an old friend from high school that I knew, a girl that got married eventually and started to build a family, which is the epitome of everything I wanted. But it was not the right decision. I pursued this relationship the wrong way and didn't honor her the right way. And she eventually said, I want out. I want to leave. And I did. I said, no, I don't quit. Something I want. You know, this is one thing that I want more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And I lost it. And it broke apart. And with that, you know, that's when God got a hold of me and I hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Everything that I wanted, I had lost in that sense. And that's when he captured my heart and really turned me to him and brought some good men around me that really comforted me and encouraged me and challenged me and brought me truly under God's word in a way that had never happened before in my life. And that's when God captured my heart and turned me in a whole new direction. That's been the journey I've been on since then.
It's interesting. When I listen to your faith journey, the one thing that pops out to me is the faith of your mother. And as I've had other interviews on this show, there's often key and integral people in the lives of the folks we've had on the show that have kind of shepherded them along and kind of showed them a way. It sounds like for a long time that your mother really helped you through, and it's not that you were relying on her faith, but she kind of showed you what the genuine faith. She Correct. Walked it out and modeled it during that time. So it was really interesting to hear that.
I definitely agree. She was a model for that. She didn't say it. Mm-hmm. She didn't preach to me or teach me God's word in a sense, but she modeled it through her diligence at home, her faithfulness to a husband who was not honestly a good man. And there were times even later on where I said, how did you stay in this and not go mad? But her faithfulness, this is where God called me, and she stuck with that. And she modeled for me what a godly woman was in a way that I always will love her more than she could ever imagine. Just my memories of her are tremendous.
It's also interesting to hear that one of your biggest God encounters, you know, it sounds like God was talking to you and kind of guiding you. You get hurt in high school, and I know some of the schools that were recruiting you. And so you had big dreams of college football glory. and you end up going to Colgate, which you end up with a fantastic education and being able to play 4 years. Correct. And you probably, when you look back on that now, Correct. You probably say, you know, really the hand of God was involved in
Absolutely.
That. Because, you know, you're you know, partly part of the reason you are the man you are today is that decision right there, key decision. And then you go through and you have the broken relationship, and obviously you're searching and you're searching for God. And he finds you in that moment and really helps, you know, kind of take care of you during your time, whether you want to call it in the wilderness or in the pit. And
both.
Yeah, we've all experienced that.
Both situations. That was the hardest season of my life. I'll never forget. I was never so low than during that period. And like I said, I had to before the pastor reached out to me, I had a gentleman I'd met 2 years prior to that point step in and just call me out of the blue and say, hey, I was thinking about you. I know we used to know each other, and he'd become a Christian, and he said, I want to know where you are. And I said, wow, that's amazing. You know, God has really captured me. And he started talking about things he's reading, and we started just conversing, and it just opened up this whole new area of my life. And I was starting that journey, and God kind of gave me a former friend who had also just walked through this and was just a few steps ahead. And those were all little signs for me mm-hmm. that God was working through this. And he brought people around me that really helped nurture me and keep me focused at that time.
Before we take a break, and again, we're talking with George Sanker, who is the headmaster of the Covenant School. Before we take a break, George, what would you say to any of our listeners who are they're kind of thinking about faith, but they haven't been able to really get their arms around it? What do you have any advice for them in terms of how to maybe get to the next step, or what to do to really kind of get that genuine faith?
I think one is prayer. I think really reaching out to God and praying, even if you don't feel like He's hearing you or answering you, I think that's a crucial, crucial first step. Really seeking Him each day and seeking His guidance and seeking His wisdom. Not going to Him asking what you want, but asking for His will and for His guidance and for His direction in your life. And also asking Him to bring people into your life that are going to guide you and direct you. People that God's going to use to challenge you sometimes and not say nice things, but also love you in other ways too. And come beside you and give you a sense of God's presence. I'd say that's the first step, and just being faithful to that process.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're talking with George Sanker, who is the headmaster of the Covenant School. We're going to take a break in just a moment, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about faith in education and faith in family. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to take a break and be back in just a moment with more Everyday Faith Radio. Be back in just a second.
Hi, this is Colonel Ray Kozak, commander for the Air Force Reserve's 71st Aerial Port Squadron at Joint Base Langley-Eustis. There are many exciting part-time intelligence, space systems, and cyberspace jobs in the Air Force Reserve here in Virginia, which will allow you to advance your civilian career while serving close to home. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or calling 800-257-1212. Sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and the Virginia Association of Broadcasters in cooperation with the station.
Virginia, more than a state, it's the place we call home. From the mountains to Main Street, sand and sea foam. When we travel within Virginia, we all come together, not just doing the things we love, but making them better. The future grows brighter for your family and mine, with every taste, every memory, and adventure we find. To keep loving Virginia, we must all do our part. Virginia.org is a great place to start. This message is furnished by the Virginia Tourism Corporation, this station, and the Virginia Association of Broadcasters.
I've got almost 6 years in the Army.
10 great years.
I joined in 06.
Family really wants to be settled in one place.
I got so much experience and technical training in the Army. Now I want to turn that into a civilian career.
I'm ready to go to college now.
Get the best of both worlds in the Army National Guard. Serve your country and your community part-time while you live your life as a full-time civilian. Visit NationalGuard.com or talk to your RCCC about making the transition.
Sponsored by the Virginia National Guard. Aired by the Virginia Association of Broadcasters in this state.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have George Sanker, who is the headmaster of the Covenant School. And George, as we were listening to your faith journey and your testimony, I wanted to circle back and read this passage from James chapter 1. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show. I'm going to read it from the Message version and just see what your reaction to this verse is. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. George, when I read that verse, I think that's the story of your life. there it is. I mean, you've had some pretty serious challenges along the way. And when I think about, you know, myself as a high school student, you know, kind of going through all the challenges that a regular high school student has to go through. And then I think about some of the challenges that you went through. But at the same time, those really, I think, ended up kind of incubating your faith. And later, as the Message version says, it ended up kind of showing your true colors as you really kind of came to faith. How does that verse strike you?
That I think that is a very appropriate verse for my life. And it's so easy in those trials that you go through to almost be angry at God, sort of like Job. but at the same time, later, not during, it's very hard during to sort of see wisely what God is doing. You still are trying to understand, why God, why are you doing this to me? But as you walk through it and get through to the other end, you see God's hand as you look back. And there's a real joy that comes from it. And while you see that and have a joy, you also see your own pride. You see your own desire to almost live as if God's irrelevant. Even though you wouldn't say it, you're going to church, you may be even praying or reading your Bible. But at some level, you see that it is really about me trying to control the game. And I want what I want, and I'm going to drive this. And when you're in it, you don't see it clearly, and that's the hardest part as you look back, and it humbles you. Hopefully, it humbles you to see your utter need for His grace for every moment, and your utter need to rely on Him and His direction. And when you do have good things that come, you praise Him for those, because they are that much sweeter when you know that He's delivered these to you, and these are just gifts from Him. So you're able to see your own pride, and you become more careful with that over time, and you try to check yourself. And but also the sweetness on the other side when God does bless you with something is wonderful. Another part around this that I think is helpful is with the suffering is having a community. You think of that early church, in Acts, and holding all things in common. They were being persecuted, and you look at the first couple hundred years of the church. I mean, they were not well received. They were persecuted, and what always amazes me is reading those stories of suffering that the early church went through. But this was the time when the church grew the most.
Yes.
Which is, it's so counterintuitive. Mm. How can you bring in more followers at a time when you're being killed in a Colosseum? Right. But what they saw was the joy and the peace in the face of these people who are being tortured daily, that they would not renounce Christ. Mm. And that's always nice to read those things and look back at my own life, and it humbles me to say I did not have to go through as much as they did.
Right.
So who am I to say that my troubles and my trials were really that much?
Right.
It kind of humbles that situation so you don't get even boastful in your suffering. Mm. But it's amazing to see that God works in ways that we will never understand, and it's only when He returns that we'll fully understand that. But He uses suffering, which is so counterintuitive to the world, particularly in a consumer culture where everything's about fun and being entertained and doing what I want to do and everything revolving around me. And God is humbling us in the church to really reflect something different to the world.
And once you have the opportunity to sort of drink from the water, from the river of grace and mercy, once you have that moment in your life and you taste that water, And you experience the grace of God, you're never the same again.
Never.
And that's where, even though it's hard and you go through the loss of a job or the illness of a family member or the death in a family, and these are things that we go through and they're hard, but it afterwards, maybe not going through them, but later on, anything that kind of draws you closer to God, you're able to look back and from a mature perspective, and you're already able to count that joy
and see His hand in it.
I want to talk about in our remaining time about faith and education, and I'm going to have to get you back on the show because there's a lot more to talk about. But a very good friend of mine, Richie McKay, who's the associate head basketball coach at UVA, he told me one time as we were considering sending our three youngest children to Covenant, he said, "Jeff, you have no idea the value of a Christian education." Now, I got a little experience of that growing up, so I understand some of that. But as I've seen our three youngest children grow in their faith and in their learning, amazing things are happening at the Covenant School. In the remaining time, and I know I'm giving you a big question here with not a lot of time, but can you talk to me about faith and education?
Yes, definitely. I'd say Christian education has been a real passion to me over the last few years. I'm going into my fourth year at Covenant. Prior to my role here, I worked with charter schools for 6 years. And prior to that, I was a Christian school teacher. So I taught in Christian schools and came here to grad school for 3 years and then left and went and worked in charter schools. And I love my work there. But I gradually realized over time that there was something missing, something that at the core of trying to form children was missing. It was the truth of Christ. And no, there's no way around it. I could put all kinds of things in place, rituals, traditions, things that sort of honored this broader sense of character. But without truth, there was something missing, your ability to truly move them towards the light. And that brought me back into Christian education. Ultimately, at the core of what we're trying to do is cultivate a Christian mind, a mind that sees God's reality in its fullness. I think of Colossians 1, you know, this idea that all things hold together in Christ. And that is how we want to see everything. And that takes work. That takes families who are nurturing children well and living out the faith before them on a daily basis. It takes the church and the community of faith that is embodying a witness for Christ. But also it takes a school, because the world we live in today is trying to capture our children's imagination, their loves, their habits through just a consumerist culture. So we want to cultivate a mind that truly is able to discern wisely the right path. You think of Proverbs and the two paths, the Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. We want them to choose wisely. And to do that, they need this holistic environment, the home, the church, and the school to do that. Probably the best example of that for me is Daniel in the Bible. You look at Daniel 1. That's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You see a young man who was pulled from his home as they are captured, and he was raised in a strong Jewish tradition. And that tradition enabled him to step into Babylon and to be able to reject certain things. He rejected their food and their wine because he did not want to be infected by the culture. But he accepted going to their university and their school. He had no problem going to a secular school because he knew that he understood truth and he could discern which ways to go. And after finishing that education, he very quickly, the king said, Daniel and his other friends were brighter and wiser than any other leaders that they were producing in Babylon. And he placed them in a position of power. And that, to me, is just a huge, huge vision for us to think about. How do we cultivate Christian minds in a way that they're able to go to any university, learn well, and discern truth, and then leave those places and go into vocations and callings where they can honor Christ in the world today? This is not just about waiting for his return. This is about honoring him today.
And in their way, in their going, help expand the kingdom. George Sanker, thank you so much for being on the show. Amazing things are happening at the Covenant School. I heard one little kindergartner I ran into the other day who said that the Covenant School is the place that they love to talk about Jesus.
Amen.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. George Sanker, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.